Good morning, my sisters. Good morning. Glad to see every one of you here. Wow. You know, I am reminded about a dream that I had. It was involving a little boy, myself, and some ladies. So, and also a boat. So in this dream, I was stepping on a boat with this little boy. I didn't know who he was at the time. He was not in the picture, but I know who he is now. I'm stepping on a boat in the stream with this little boy. There's ladies that I don't know. I don't know these ladies, but they're on the boat, and they're talking to me, and they're telling me, it's time now, it's time now. You have to go speak. And I'm thinking, no, I know I can't. No, I can't. And I'm just telling them, no. I was afraid, you know, I said, no. Finally, I got courage. It had to be the Holy Spirit gave me courage. And I said, okay, I will do this. I stepped off the boat with this little boy by my side. He was with me. Like I said, I didn't know who this little boy was, but now I know who this little boy was. And I thank you because the Lord was showing me years ago that this moment would be happening here. And he showed me, and this little boy is my grandson, and he's 9 years old. Mind you, he was not in the picture at all. I didn't know who this little boy was. But to God be all the glory. I was thinking perhaps that's some significance to somebody. And it came also with this dream, my thoughts, when I reflected on the dream again, because I actually picked up the paper, which was ripped out of a book when I documented it. It's been so long ago. And the Lord let me pick it up a few days after I was asked to present this message. And I read everything that was right there. You know, it was just there for me to find at that particular time. So thinking about the boat and all, I thought about Peter and how in the Bible, Peter saw Jesus walking on the boat. Walking on the water. And he said, and he asked the Lord Jesus to bid him to come. And the Lord did. So as Peter stepped off the boat and started walking towards Jesus, as you know, the story is, the account is in St. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22, he began to sink. But why did he sink? Because he took his eyes off Jesus. And that's what I want. I don't want to do that. I want to keep my eyes focused on Jesus, no matter what. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says in the Bible, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And from this I will share my testimony. So I said yes to Jesus on a lovely sunny Palm Sunday. And it was at a little Pentecostal church in 1983. That's exactly 38 years ago. Probably older than some of you sitting here right now. I don't want to point fingers, but so now you know. I heard the word preached as if it was directed right to me. And I know some of you can go there. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I was pricked in my heart to tears because I was a sinner, of course, practicing sin, living in sin, yet I was tired of sin, and I was tired of my lifestyle. So there I was, and thank God Almighty that he brought me to this point. And little did I know what God had in store for me after I surrendered. I came forward when the call was made by the pastor of the church, of course, and I was instructed there would be a baptismal service on that evening, so I was instructed to come back. So that evening, I returned, and I was baptized, and I began to tarry on the name of Jesus, according to Jeremiah 33:3, if you recall. Well, this is the old way. I don't know how it's done now, but that was back in 1983. So call, in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me and I,
Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, I had tried my way. I tried the system's way. That didn't work. I tried educational way. That didn't work. My way didn't work. And what I needed was from Jesus. Jesus had and has for me everything. He has for me and has for everyone, everything that we need. All we have to do is surrender to him, and that's what I did. And not until I surrendered all my efforts and my works and laid them at Jesus' feet and threw up my hands, so to speak, and when Jesus walked in and took over. And it's just like that. I began to see so many things in a different way. My life was changing, and I was too, on the inside, and it was apparent on the outside. So you know, what's in you comes, you know, it shows in your countenance and in your actions. There were things and stuff only the Holy Spirit could correct in my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And that's how it is. And that is what happened to me. The Holy Spirit began to teach me and to speak to me and to reveal to me supernatural, godly things. I mean, things I couldn't know in the natural. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. How many of us know that the Holy Spirit is a teacher? Amen. The scriptures say, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. And that's found in St. John chapter 14, verse 26. Another thing about my my salvation and my changing was, now I had outfits and a whole bunch of clothes, all clothes. I mean clothes. I was a girl. I was a dresser, man. I had short dresses, mini skirts, all kind of heels, not, you know, heels, and short pants, everything. Oh, and I had all kind of records, man. That was when the vinyl was popular, before your time, huh? I had all these records, man. Blues and Michael Jackson, all those kind of things. But for 1 Timothy chapter 9, First Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, in the NLT, I read where it says, and I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothing. And it goes on to say in verse 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, for women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things that they do. Amen. And I didn't say that. That came from the Bible. And friend, I began seeking the Lord. In Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 7, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now I was seeking the Lord, praying to Jesus, on my way to my deliverance and on my way to my healing. The old barber was changing, and my children were witnesses to that. And my daughter, she's not here this morning, she was shocked at her new mom. She was looking at me, and she always was right up under me. But she was closer because she was looking like, okay. Mom's not yelling about that, and she's not yelling about that, and she's not cursing about that, and she's getting rid of all her nice clothes. What's going on here? They witnessed it. And then they wanted Jesus too. So it's all about Jesus. And he gets all the glory, all the honor. Go goes to Jesus for what he has done and what he is going to do. All you need is Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And doesn't Jesus know what we need far better than we do? If he gave us half the things we asked for, we would be, oh my, we would be sorry, so sorry, because some of the things we asked for are not God's perfect will for us. And I'm standing here, sisters, my beloved sisters, talking from experience, from asking for something that was not God's perfect will for me, suffering the consequences for years and years because of that's what I wanted. But that was not God's perfect will for me. It was not. But he let me go through that. I just went on through that, continued. And at the end, he did come through and bless me. I tried to get out of it, but nope, not yet. So like I said, doesn't Jesus know what we need far better than we know? And if that's also, you can read Psalm 37, verse 5. Jesus wants his perfect plan for every single one of us. Jesus has the best for us, not the worst. And that is true, too. Jeremiah 29:11 says that. It tells us, God, through his prophet, Jeremiah says, I know the plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. And this wasn't in my notes, but my mind's going back to when my daughter, the daughter under the one here sitting, Naomi, she was only about 5 years old, and I was going through something in that marriage, and I was kind of sitting with my children on the floor. And my daughter, her name is Sarah, she took a piece of paper. It was ripped from a brown paper bag, and she wrote this on the paper, Jeremiah 29:11. She was only 5 years old. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to help, plans to give hope and a future. Sorry, I didn't know I was going to be sorry. In Psalm 16, it reads, preserve me, O God. In another place, David says to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. God gave me in 1983 the plan, that Palm Sunday evening, and only he can keep me. My sisters, we are living in a day where all kinds of things are happening, and you all can attest to that. You see all kind of things happening that you didn't see before. The world seems to be headed for hell. We are the light in this world, each and every one of us here, which is the world so desperately needs the Savior. People need to see Jesus in me, and he needs to see Jesus in you. They need to see Jesus in us. When we speak to people, I want them to see Jesus in me. Jesus, put your words in my heart, in my mouth, when I speak to people. I'm reminded of when Jesus saved me. I prayed for the gift of prophecy. I had been reading my Bible way before I thought about that I was going to be saved. As a matter of fact, I was going to a church, and I thought I was on my way to heaven. But I worked in this church as a church secretary. It's a well-known Baptist church in the city. So I worked as a secretary, and all around me, there was all types of Bibles to read, so I had free access to Bibles. So I would enjoy reading the New Testament, of the Good News Bible, whenever I had free time or downtime. I would enjoy reading the Good News Bible. I liked the way the Bible explained everything, and it had the little pictures and everything, little caricatures and stuff, and that was cool to me back then. As a sinner, back then I was searching. I was searching the Bible, reading the good news, learning the word, and in my case, it led to my salvation ultimately. The Bible says, seek the Lord, and that's what I was doing. And that is what the Holy Spirit is saying to me and wanting me to tell you, my sisters. And that is what the Lord wants me to tell you. When I prayed and asked the Lord, what to say to, what do you want me to bring? What message do you want me to bring to the ladies, to the sisters? What message did you want me to bring? He said, seek me. Seek God. That's a simple message, right? Seek God. That's the message I asked again and again, like I said, and he said, seek me. And that is a rhema word, whether you know it or not. Seek me in your day-to-day activities, my daughters. And I am, to tell you this, I'm reminded a couple of weeks ago, Luz and I were going to get our car serviced. We were coming back from the dealership, the monthly maintenance, or not the monthly, but the annual maintenance of your car. And as we approached the intersection at the Jefferson and Henrietta Road, there was a man standing there. And as I zeroed in on him, he was holding a sign. I zeroed in on the words that were on the sign, and guess what the words were? J-E-S-U-S. He was holding a sign up over his head. I pointed this out to my husband. And even as I spoke to my husband about this, thoughts ran through my mind. What if that man got up that morning, particular morning, and what if he spoke to the Lord? And what if he said, God, what can I do for you today? What can I do to show my love for you today? What can I do to honor you today? You know, I'm just thinking, this is just me thinking, seeing this man holding up the sign, and this is going through my mind. Maybe God said to him, well, son, if you want to honor my name, just go out and hold up a sign. And maybe God was more specific with him, like he was with Noah. Maybe he said to this man, get a piece of plywood, and with the measurements I give you, cut that plywood out. Maybe God said, maybe God said to him, and on that plywood, I want you to put my name across that plywood. And maybe he said to this man, if you want to honor me and show my love, and then maybe he said to the man, now go out on the corner. Maybe he told him Jefferson and Henrietta, where he was standing. Now hold up this sign. So the man held up the sign, and it was saying Jesus. And I thought about that. You know, maybe that, and as you think about Jesus, what does Jesus mean to you? Just holding up that sign, all it said was Jesus. Well, to me, it comes to me, Jesus is life. Jesus is my salvation. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my Yahweh. He's my Jehovah Jireh. He's my friend. Jesus is everything we need. Without Jesus, we are nothing. We can do nothing without Jesus. And I'm thinking about this man. And maybe God said, lift up my name. But what was he doing? He was lifting up his name. He was holding up the sign. He was lifting up the name of Jesus. And people who went by in their cars here and there, they saw that sign. Maybe that particular day they needed to know. Jesus cares about what you're going through. Jesus cares about your son, your daughter, your marriage, your job. He cares. Jesus. That's all we need. Jesus. All we need is Jesus. So Jesus said, seek me, my daughters. Seek me as never before. We're living in a time where you don't have answers. The government doesn't have answers. I think they're making it up as they go along. You know, it seems that way. But God has an answer. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to be. Amen. Isaiah 56:6, I already said this, but I'm reiterating. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I'm going to close with this. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 7. Seek the Lord. And I did a little study about, and you can do your own study on seeking the Lord. Here's something found in Amos chapter 5, verse 6, where it says, "Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it." Here it is again, "Seek the Lord." In Jeremiah 29, 13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Mm-hmm. King James Version. Here's one more in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. "But from there you will seek the Lord and God, Lord your God, excuse me, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart." And that's the message today. Simple but profound. Simple but powerful. Simple but life. Seek the Lord. Thank you. God bless you.